Good morning. Good morning, Sherry.
Morning.
Okay. So I'm going to start as I usually do by just putting everybody on mute, but feel free to unmute as you wish to kind of chime in. I just want to try to help keep background noise to a minimum. And I did share with everybody, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I did share with everybody before by email a copy of the source page. I'll still display it on the screen, but if you wanted a copy of it or to either to print it or to have it, I sent it out. We are starting a new part of this parak today. We've been spending quite some time on parak hey. It's a short parak, but a lot of major pieces to the story of David HaMelech in this parak. So we have spent the first part of the study of parak hey dealing with the joint kingdom or the unification of the two halves of Malchut Yisrael and Malchut Yehuda. And then we spent some time talking about Yerushalayim. Last week we did the conquest of Yerushalayim. Last week we did an overview of the rest of the perek to kind of get a sense of the chronological sequence of this perek, to realize that it's not necessarily all events that are happening sequentially, but more thematically. Meaning it's a perek that describes the various events that that form the foundation of David's Malchus, the kind of trajectory of David into the leadership role that he will assume as a kind of a national and even global leader. We saw the alliance with Hiram Melech Tzor that built his palace, and that created a sense of an international footprint to David's kingdom. And then we saw the reference to the battles of the Plishtim, which we're going to explore in more detail today. Battles of the Plishtim to give David sort of the national leadership within the country, kind of the regional area, the address to the Plishtim. And by the time this parak ends, David is well established within the context of his leadership. I originally entitled this whole study of the first part of Shmuel Bet as David in Ascendance. This is all a trajectory to take to see the ascendance of David into to the pinnacle of his career. And so I'm going to share the screen and we're going to dive right in. So this is where we're up to. We are in the second half of Perek Hay. I'm just setting up the screen share, the video, so I can see everybody. All right. So we are in the second half of Perek Hay, and starting with last week we dealt with Hiram Melech Tzor, and we dealt with the issue of the list of his children that are born and the chronological sequencing of this parak. Starting with Pasuk Gitzayin. Vayishmu plishtim ki mashchu et David lemelech Yisrael. The Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, in this context meaning the whole of Israel, not just the last 7 years he's been in Hebron, but a much broader national imprint of Melech Yisrael. V'alu kol plishtim levakesh et David. So all the Philistines went up to seek David. Now, to seek David doesn't mean to seek an audience with him, to seek a conference with him. To seek David in this context means to put a price on his head that was quite high and to remove it and parade it around Eretz Plishtim the way David paraded the head of Gat, the head of Goliath, after he removed it from his body. The Vakeshet David is a euphemism for a major battle. Vayishma David vayered el ha-metzuda. David heard, and he went into the fortress or the stronghold. We had spent some time last week addressing the question of when this battle took place. the opening of this half of the pasuk seems to reflect the fact that David leMalach Yisrael, the Plishtim heard that they had anointed David over Israel. That's a reference to the earlier part of the parak, before the conquest of Yerushalayim, when the tribes from the north came to David and they made an alliance with him and they asked him to be the melech over all of Israel. That's sort of a reference at the very beginning to the end of Pasuk Gimel. Vayishmishchu et David leMelech Yisrael. They anointed David as king over Israel. So that's exactly what happens next. Vayishma'u plishtim ki mashchu David leMelech Yisrael. When the plishtim heard that they had anointed David over Israel, then they came to wage war. Vayishma David vayered ala mitzuda. David heard and he went down to the mitzuda. The mitzuda, on the other hand, would at first blush seem to connect us to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim, or Ir Tzion, is also referred to as, or Mitzudat Tzion, or Ir David is referred to as Mitzudat Tzion, right? The stronghold of Tzion, and the Mitzudah is referenced in the conquest of Yerushalayim, so that would seem to indicate that they are, that David is in Yerushalayim, and so I sort of have this contradiction in the two halves of the pasuk as to where to put the battle. If the entire, if I see it chronologically, then it's post the Battle of Yerushalayim, which would explain, I'm just going to pull up a map here for a second, which would explain, if it's after the Battle of Yerushalayim, then, and the Plishtim come to fight David, then it explains why they're coming up to the area of Yerushalayim, Emek Rephaim. We'll see that in a moment, because David is here in the Mitzudah of Emek of Yerushalayim. If the story is earlier, and it's before the conquest of Yerushalayim, and it's David's victory over the Plishtim that enables him to fight for Yerushalayim, then the Mitzudah here is a reference not to Mitzudat Zion, but we would have to assume that it's a reference to the Mitzudah that we've seen earlier in the story in Marat Adulam, more or less here in this area that David comes down or launches his war from Hebron. It's unclear. Most of the Mefarshim assume that this battle with the Plishtim is after the Battle of Yerushalayim, although there's evidence to support either position. Uflishtim bau vayinatshu be'emek Rephaim. The Plishtim come and they spread themselves out in Emek Rephaim. So Emek Rephaim is the place where this battle is taking place, and the strategic value of Emek Rephaim is important to understand what's going on in this parak. So I'm going to come back to the map for a second. Before I do, I want to point out two observations. One is that this phrase here, when it describes the Plishtim coming to fight against David, this is, I believe, the first time we find the phrase kol plishtim, right? All the Plishtim, not just a group of Plishtim, not just a delegation of the Philistine army, not just Vayinatshu, kol plishtim levakesh David, all the Plishtim. That emphasis is unique here, and it tells me that we're dealing with a battle in an order of magnitude that is significantly larger than we've seen in the past. We've seen the Plishtim incursion all the way up north into Shiloh, etc., and other areas, Har Gaboa. We've seen the Plishtim all over the country. But this is the first time we've seen the reference Vayalu Kol Plishtim. Right? All the Plishtim went out. David is public enemy number one to them, and they are not going to let this new kingdom threaten their regional aspirations on the country, on the land. And so, Plishtim Bao Vayinatshu Be'emek Rephaim.
But this means only men, right?
Yeah, a war would only have been men. Women didn't fight in the wars in those days, on either side, on any side. Wars were never, in up until modern times, women never fought in the combat soldiers in armies. I want to come back to this map, which is a sort of a picture. Actually, you know what? I'm going to pull up a different map. Let's pull up this map. This is a a Google map of the area. Okay, that's a Google map of the areas that we're describing. Hebron, Yerushalayim. And actually, I haven't finished this. Emek Rephaim will get to. Actually, I haven't finished the story, but Baal Paritzim is the location of the battle. We'll see that in a few minutes. I'm going to pull up a modern map of it and kind of zoom in a little bit. We all know where Emek Rephaim is today, or more or less where the street named Emek Rephaim is today. Right? It's right there on the map. But what Emek Rephaim is in Tanakh terms is a much larger area of land. So if I look at the area topographically, and this is a topographical map, here's Yerushalayim, which is either David's location right now, or possibly the battle with the Plishtim enables David to get to Yerushalayim. Either way, Yerushalayim is the focal point of either primary or secondary focal point. And part of the reason why the Plishtim are going to Emek Rephaim, again, if David is in Yerushalayim, it's because they want to fight David. They want to draw him out of Yerushalayim and into the area of Emek Rephaim. Or, alternatively, since Yerushalayim, Emek Rephaim is the border between the southern kingdom of Yehuda and the northern kingdom of Israel, this newly appointed alliance between Yehuda and Israel through David threatens the Plishtim. Why does this new alliance between the north and the south of Israel threaten the Plishtim? Because as long as the north and the south are separated and they're engaged in a civil war with each other, so Yehuda is fighting Israel, Israel is fighting Yehuda, the Plishtim are living it up, right? They're enjoying the benefits of the civil war between Israel and Judah. Because as long as Israel and Judah are fighting each other, they don't have time, patience, or resources to worry about the Plishtim. And the Plishtim are just spreading out to wherever they want to go. This alliance between Yehuda and Israel makes the kingdom of Israel much stronger. And if it makes it much stronger, it threatens the regional aspirations of Eretz Plishtim, which is just here to the left, just here on the coast. So from that perspective, the Plishtim have a very big stake in making sure that this newly anointed joint kingdom of Judah and Israel does not live out the week. So either they're coming to Emek Rephaim because they want to fight David, who's in Yerushalayim, Ir David. Okay, so this is a modern map of the area. You can sort of see here's Yerushalayim, here's Silwan, here is Abu Tor, here is Emek Rephaim, here's come down a little bit to over here, here is Malcha, here is Gilo. You kind of get a sense of where we are. Emek Rephaim, in biblical terms, is more or less the valley that stretches from south of the valleys of Yerushalayim. Okay, this is Gei Ben Hinnom. These are the valleys that make up Ir David. I showed you the map of Ir David last week, the valleys that surround Ir David. Gei Ben Hinnom is one of them. But Emek Rephaim is to the south of Gei Ben Hinnom, and this is all Emek Rephaim. It's a large valley that stretches all the way through this area down to, according to, possibly all the way down to Beit Lechem. Okay, here is Beit Lechem. So this valley here, this whole valley essentially, is referred to as Emek Rephaim. So we talk about Emek Rephaim today, we're talking about a little street. In biblical terms, we're talking about this entire stretch of a valley that runs from south of Yerushalayim all the way down to Beit Lechem. And if that's where the Plishtim have encamped, and that is really a massive army, Vayalu kol Plishtim, Vayinachu be'emek Rephaim. The entire Philistine army literally spread out into this valley called Emek Rephaim, south of Yerushalayim, between Beit Yerushalayim and Beit Lechem. Again, either for the purpose of fighting David in Yerushalayim and stopping David from getting any further north, or possibly, if it's before the Battle of Yerushalayim, taking over this area strategically and cutting off David, who's in Hebron, from the ability for him to move north and to assert and to assume his role over king over the northern tribes as well. Does everybody follow what I'm trying to suggest? They kind of get a sense of the topography and a sense, and the geography gives us a better understanding of what the motivation behind the Plishtim is, regardless of when this battle is taking place. Right? It's either just before or just after the conquest of Yerushalayim. In either way, we get a better sense that Emek Rephaim is strategically located in a position to either launch the battle against Yerushalayim or to stop David from his incursion northward from Hebron to Yerushalayim. This is all. This is where it says Baal Paritzim. This is the location of the major battle, and this is all the valley of Emek Rephaim.
Rabbi, what does Rephaim literally mean?
So Rephaim, it's unclear. I mean, it could be a reference to the, I think the it was somewhere I saw a reference to the giants of say for Breshit time, but it's a, but I'm not 100% sure. But that's what it's referred to, Valley of Rephaim. I think there's a reference somewhere in in Breshit. It talks about Be'akud Rephaim ba'ashterot kanayim et azuzim ba'em et ha'imim mishavek yatayim Chiti Prizi Rephaim. The different nations or different tribes of in Sefer Breshit belonging to the Canaanite region. So exactly who they are, what they are, is not necessarily clear. In Devarim, there's a reference to Rephaim Yachshavu Afhem Ka'anakim, that the Rephaim were also considered giants. Ramoavim Yikulem Imim. So it talks about the Eretz Rephaim, the land of Rephaim, referenced several places. Og Melech HaBashan Nishar Miyeter HaRephaim. Famous Og, king of Bashan, is a descendant from the remaining tribes or remnants of Rephaim. So if I connect the dots to Og Melech HaBashan and to the Anakim, so it's a valley of the giants. Whether that's in fact the reference here or not is unclear, but that's the history of the word Rephaim. It's one of the reasons I like this website, because you can do all kinds of fun things with it. Okay. So that comes back to the map. Here you have a sort of a schematic map of it. Here's Yerushalayim. Here is Emek Rephaim. And the other observation that we can see from this map is how the Plishtim get to Emek Rephaim. They either come up from they most likely come up through Beit Lechem, through what is referred to as Emek Ha'elah. Emek Ha'elah, just south of Beit Shemesh, you have this valley, goes from Gat, Azekah, these are all Plishtim cities, and comes up through to Beit Lechem and there into Emek Rephaim, or alternatively, they could be coming this way through Beit Shemesh, through the back road to Yerushalayim from Beit Shemesh to Emek Rephaim. More or less, they're either coming, just to zoom out a little bit, you can see it on a real map, they're either coming from Beit Shemesh this way through the back roads to Yerushalayim, or what is I think more likely, from Gat down through Emek Ha'elah, which is this valley here, and they come up through. Here's Gush Etzion area, and into the area of Beit Lechem, and from Beit Lechem into Emek Rephaim. So there, here it's Eretz Plishtim. These are the valleys: Beit Shemesh, Nachal, Emek Ha'elah, into the area of what is today the valley between Yerushalayim and Beit Lechem, Beit Jala. Beit Lechem, Ramat Rachel, it's all places in today's map. And here we're going to get to the major battle of Baal Peretzim. Any questions on the map? I just thought it was valuable to see this in real terms on a real map of today's Yerushalayim, because this is all happening in this area, this area where you could go to today and see it and kind of see what's going on.
Rabbi, where would Hebron be on this map, or is it much south?
Much further south. Here's Yerushalayim. Here's Baal Peretzim, the site of the battle that we're about to learn about. Here's Beit Lechem. This is all Emek Rephaim. Go all the way south. And Hebron is down here. Okay, Hebron, Ephrat, Beit Lechem, Yerushalayim. And here is Emek Rephaim in this valley right here, near Ramat Rachel. If you ever taken a tour of Yerushalayim and start from Amon HaNetziv with a British High Commissioner's palace used to be, that valley overlooking Yerushalayim, more or less, that is Emek Rephaim. Okay, so let's go back to our story. וישמעו פלישתים כי משכו את דוד למלך ישראל, ויעלו כל פלישתים לבקש את דוד, וישמע דוד וירד אל המצודה. This is a battle for control over the land. All the plishtim come to fight against David. David goes into war mode, goes into the fortress. Which fortress is debatable. ופלישתים באו וינטשו בעמק רפאים. The plishtim come, and they spread out through עמק רפאים. So now David is faced with, of course, a major confrontation, a major war in the very early stage of this United Kingdom. And in classic David style, Vayish'al David b'Hashem lemor, Ha'e'ele el plishtim, Ha'titnem b'yadi. David inquired of God in almost every time we find David going into war. We'll find some reference to this inquiry, whether it's via a Navi or whether it's via the Urim V'Tumim, this inquiry of God, should I go to war or not? Vayomer Hashem el David, Ale. God said to David, go, ki naton eten et haplishtim biyadecha. I will deliver the plishtim into your hands. Vayavo David bebaal peratzim. David came to a place which will be called Baal Peretzim. Right now, it's just part of Emek Rephaim. This name will become its name at the end of the story. But he comes to a place called Baal Peretzim. Vayakem sham David. And there David smote the plishtim. We don't have a lot of details on the nature of this battle, but it seems to be significant enough for David to acknowledge it in tefillah, hoda'ah, halal, and a name of the city. Or the place, Vayomer, Paratz Hashem et Oivai Lefanai, Kiperetz Maim. God has broken my enemies today, like the breach of the waters. Pritza is a breach. Kiperetz Maim, like a breach of water. Alken, Kara Shem Makom Mahu Baal Peretzim. And therefore, the name of the place, Baal Peretzim, I think we talked about once before, the notion that in Sefer Shmuel, the word Baal doesn't have the connotation that it has in other places in Tanakh. In other places in Tanakh, it kind of takes on almost an idolatrous connotation. In Sefer Shmuel, Baal is synonymous with Adon, master, Baal, and is a euphemism for God. Much as you have Mefi Baal, Ish Baal, Ish Boshet, there is certainly a in Sefer Shmuel, a phenomenon of referring to God as Baal, master, and therefore Baal Peretzim, right, the place of God's breach of the waters in conquest of the Plishtim, Paratz Hashem et Oivai Lefanai Kiperetz Mai. V'yazvu Sham et Atzabem, the Plishtim left their idols there in the valley as they fled. Hayisayim David va'anashav. David and his men took them away. I'm going to leave. I'm going to stop here for a second. I'm going to come back to the second battle against the Plishtim in a moment. I just want to make a few, point out a few observations about this description of this battle. I'm going to come back to Vayishal David Ba'ashem Lemor. Before David goes to this campaign, he seeks out God. He seeks out the, whether it be through the Navi or more likely through the Urim V'Tumim, very classic move on David's part to inquire, should he go to war or shouldn't he? Will he be successful or not? This is not the first time we've seen David engage in a conversation, the query to the Urim V'Tumim before going out to war, as is the paradigm halachically that the king is supposed to consult with the Sanhedrin or consult with the Kohen Gadol before going out to war. That's in fact the halacha. And David is sort of the classic example, the classic paradigm of that behavior. We've seen it several times. I'll show you one example in Shmuel Aleph, where we saw it in a very powerful moment, which is actually one of the early times that David fought against the Plishtim. So if I look at the early part of David's life fighting against the Plishtim, and now the last major campaign against the Plishtim, sort of bracketed with the sense of David's loyalty to God through the Urim V'Tumim. David is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chav Gimel, is a time when David is running from Shaul, and he's taking refuge in the tribal territory of Judah. And he sees this way when David is running back and forth. If you remember those years in Shmuel Aleph, when David is running back and forth through the tribal territory of Judah. Ve'agidu leDavid lemor, hinei Plishtim nilchamim bekeilah. David was told, behold, the Philistines are fighting against Ke'ilah. Ke'ilah is a Jewish city in Shevet Yehuda, and they are on the border. Actually, I think, if you look at this map here, this is a map of the two wars of the Plishtim, but if you look at it carefully, here's Hebron. So this area here between Hebron and Yerushalayim, this is Shevet Yehuda. Here is Eretz Plishtim. Gat is the major, strongest of all the Philistine cities. Here is Ke'ilah. Adullam and Ke'ilah. So between Adullam and Ke'ilah, these are sort of the border cities of Shevet Yehuda that faced the Plishtim, and it was not, and they were threatened. So here is Ke'ilah, he's threatened by the Plishtim. David has to make a critical decision. They were robbing the threshing floors. The Philistine were launching raiding parties, marauders, raiding parties to steal their wheat. Vayishal David b'Hashem lemor, ha'elech v'keti b'plishtim ha'ele. David inquired of God, should I go? Should I smite? Should I fight against these plishtim? Vayomer Hashem al David, lech v'kita b'plishtim v'sha'atat ke'ilah. Go and fight the Plishtim, save Ke'ilah. So David goes, he does exactly what he was told to do, goes and he fights against the Plishtim. And then at the end of the battle, David and his men go to Ke'ilah, they fight against the Plishtim. To David in this battle comes Yatar ben Avimelech, who is the Kohen Gadol, carrying with him the ephod, so he's got the Urim V'Tumim. When Shaul heard that David had come to Ke'ilah, so he goes and he gathers up his army to go and fight against David. Skip to Pasuk. David knew that Saul was devising mischief or evil against him. So he turned to Eviatar Kohen and he said to him, Hagisha ha'ifod, bring me the ephod, bring me the Urim V'Tumim, because he needs to consult with God again. David, and again David said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shamar Shamav Dacha, Ki Mivakesh Shaul, Laval Ke'ilah L'Shechet La'ir Ba'avuri. I have heard that Shaul is on his way to destroy Ke'ilah because I was here, because I saved them, because they demonstrated their loyalty to me. Tell me, what's going to happen? Is Shaul going to come here and fight against me? Are the people of Keilah going to support me, or are they going to hand me over to David? God answered him and said, Shaul is coming. That's only an answer to one of his two questions. So he asks the second question again. Vayomer David, Hayaz giruni balei Keilah, are the people of Keilah going to deliver me, hand me over, extradite me to Shaul? Vayomer Hashem yazgiru. To which God said to David, they will. They will betray you. They will turn against you and they will hand you over to Shaul. At which point, Vayakam David v'anashav kishesh miyotish ve'etzu mekeilah ve'ochu ba'sheyit halachu. So then David begins to pick up himself up and run. This is Shaul in Shmuel in Perek Chaf Gimel of Shmuel Aleph, one of the early battles with against the Plishtim. But you see from this moment until, go from here all the way to where we are, which is Shmuel Bet Perek Hay, the bracketed world of David, and you get a sense of the consistent pattern in David's life. David goes to war, but he goes to war with God on his side. He'll go to war with a loyalty to Hashem's word in this context. And so he will seek God's guidance at every step. And that is characteristic of David in a significant way. It's also significantly a contrast to Shaul. Because whereas David constantly engages with the Urim V'Tumim, constantly engages with the question of what does God want of him and his loyalty to God, if you had to define a characteristic of Shaul and his campaigns, it would have been described in the exact opposite terms. Shaul, who was impatient with Urim V'Tumim, Shaul, who didn't have the patience and the time to wait for the Urim V'Tumim to answer him, or if we wait till the Navi comes, if you remember the very first test of Shaul, when we're going to read the psukim a little bit later, when Shmuel said to him, wait for me for 7 days before you start the battle against the Plishtim, and he did not wait. It was the battle of Michmas. That was, you know, that's in contrast to David. So this constant reference to David seeking the Urim V'Tumim's guidance at every step, in contrast to Shaul, who didn't have the patience to wait for God's instructions or for God's answer or for the Urim V'Tumim, kind of sets us up for a better understanding, a deeper understanding of the profound difference between David and Shaul. I'm going to come back to that theme later in either this week, either today or next week, but I just wanted you to see this here. This is,
Rabbi,
yeah.
That's also a theme in Divrei Hayamim. They repeat again and again how David sought out God and sought out the Urim V'Tumim.
I will take you at your word for that one. On that one, I am less familiar with Divrei Hayamim, but I will admit that I'm not.
And that's what she says over and over again.
Yeah.
I have a question too. Nevertheless, the loyalty of the people, they were still not with David.
That's 30 years ago. That's 20 years ago. That's an early story. I just went back to see David's behavior. That's Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Gimel. Here, we're in Shmuel Bet Perek Hey. It's a different world. David has absolutely.
So, at what point did he gain the popularity?
Oh, there's a long years. Journey between there and here. David is rehash all of Shmuel the second half of Shmuel Aleph. David had spent years defending the people of Judah and fighting for them, etc. And now he's. David was always the popular one. I just went back to this parak to see the issue of the Urim V'Tumim. This is and the rest of the story over there is not really relevant to our piece of it. Right? The loyalty of the people to David at this point is not questioned. All right. So that's part one of this story. Part two of the story is to understand this phrase Baal Peretzim. And is it just the name of the place, right? Vayakim sham David vayomer paratz Hashem et oivai lifanai kiperetz mayim. God has broken my enemies before me like a breach of waters. What does that mean? And why is that significant? To the point where he names the place. Alken kavashem makomahu baal paratzim. David doesn't name the place of every battle that he fights, especially not against the Plishtim. He's fought so many. And yet this battle takes on a name, Kiperetz Mayim. Not only does it take on a name, Kiperetz Mayim, but there's even a reference many years later, 300 years later, I'll throw out a number, Yeshayahu has a reference to a battle which he calls the Battle of Har Pratzim. And I'll show you that reference in this, here. It's Yeshayahu, Perek, Chavchet. Now, this is Yeshayahu being critical of Israel, so you have to understand the reverse reference. But in this context, here he says, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, your agreement with the netherworld shall not stand. Ki kahar pratzim yakum Hashem ke'emek begivon yegaz. For I will rise up like in Mount Pratzim and bring wrath like in the valley of Givon. Lasot maseu zar maseu, that he may do his work. Strange is his work. Lavod avodaton nochriyan avodaton, to bring to pass his act. Strange is his act. I'm not going to get to the rest of this pasuk. It's not relevant to us. But what is relevant here is he makes a reference to, this is Yeshayahu, 300 years later. He makes a reference to some great rising up of God, some great moment of God's presence, described as Har Kihar Pratzim Yakum Hashem. Like in Har Pratzim, God will arise. What does that mean? So if you look at the Mefarshim, take a look, for example, at the Radak. I specifically want the Dakam Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yeah. Here. I gotta move this over here. Where is the Radak? Oh, here. Okay. Can everybody see it? Kahar Pratzim?
Well, yes.
What happened to it? Yeah, it's over here. You all see the Radak?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the Radak's interpretation of the phrase in Yeshayahu. Kahar Pratzim. So Yeshayahu, so the Radak explains the reference as follows. Kimilchama Shenilcham David baplishtim bebal paratzim. Yeshayahu is referring to this moment of God's presence and comparing it to the battle of David against the plishtim in Baal Paratzim. Vayashem har, there was a mountain, there was a hill. Kamo shekatuv vayalu bebal paratzim, they went up to Baal Paratzim. So it was, he's trying to explain why it's called Har Paratzim instead of Baal Paratzim. That battle was a great wonder. David as, because David was able to fight and to smite and to be victorious against the Plishtim with whatever army he had at that time. Against a battle against an army of the Plishtim that comprised the entire army of the Plishtim. This was a massive battle. V'amar David, paratz Hashem et oivai lefanai kiperetz mayim, which led David to proclaim that God has breached my enemies like the breach of waters. Klomar, me'et Hashem hayta zot. This was from God. This was a victory that was a God-led victory. Just in those great moments when God arose and fought for them. And the reference now is Ken Yakum Hashem Yilachem B'Yisrael. The rest of it is reference to what will happen Yeshayahu, is in Yeshayahu's description. But the notion somehow that this becomes a battle that is almost paradigmatic, almost a symbol for generations of the power of God and the significance, the magnitude of this battle, we don't see the magnitude of this battle in this pasuk, because all it says is Vayakim Sham David. We have a very small picture of this battle. We don't have any reference to the depth of it, to the significance of it, to the breadth of it. How did it happen? How did it come about? But we have reference, we have hints to the fact that it has to have been much larger and much more powerful than, at first blush, simply saying Vayakim Sham David. David has fought and been victorious against the Plishtim many times. But this is really a description of a breach of the waters, like the waters of the depth coming up. There is reference many in the end of Shmuel Bet, very famous perek. The end we read it as a haftorah. The end of Shmuel Bet. There's a famous shira. David shira called the Shirat David, when David describes a kind of a shira of halal to all of his victories. And there in Pasuk Chet, we find the description, Vatir'ash ha'aretz mosdot ha'shamayim yegazu. The earth shook, the foundations of heaven trembled. Vayitga'ashu kicharalo. The foundations were shaken because of his wrath against his enemies. The notion that the very foundations of the earth fight on David's behalf, you see here again in the Peretz Mayim, this breach of the waters, which could refer to some sort of just a magnitude or a power of the victory. It could also refer to the possibility that David had some heavenly assistance. In what fashion would David have had some heavenly assistance that came in the form of a breach of water? Water assisting the kings of Israel in the battles is not a foreign or a strange concept for us. We've seen it before, especially when you talk about battles taking place on hills and in valleys. This is not an area where the Philistine tactical advantage plays itself out, because the Philistines' tactical advantage are their chariots and their horses. Chariots and horses don't function well in hills and valleys. And if you know anything about Yerushalayim, you know that this is a very hilly region. This is Baal Paratzim is over here. Givat Canada, Gilo. This is sort of Park Gilo, right? The area of Gilo today. Gilo today is certainly a very big hill. Right? Chariots and horses are not going to function there well. Add a little rain, add a little water, add a little bit of minashamayim nilchamu, Sisra style, and suddenly David's victory becomes much more, the magnitude of David's victory becomes much more understandable. Add to it the fact that this is Vayalu Kol Plishtim. This was a major campaign of the Philistines. This was their one chance to stop David in his tracks. And they fail, because David stops them in a massive victory in Baal Paratzim. And how much of the army is involved is unclear, but the description of this in our perek is certainly, sort of, you get short references, but you can feel the depth of it. coming to David, they're spread out throughout the valley. David is campaigning. David goes against them, asks of God, seeks God's assistance. God says, go. He goes and he breaches them, destroys them. God has breached my enemies. This is groundbreaking, literally. And that's where the story leaves us, with one exception, and that's Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Stop me if you have any questions, otherwise I'm just going to keep going. The Philistines, in their flight, they left behind all of their atzabeim. What are atzabeim? We say it in Halal. Atzabeim kesev ezav maaseh adam. Right, all of their idols, all of their images. They had brought their idols into the battlefield with them. Not surprising, not an uncommon phenomenon. They brought their deities or their gods into the camp, into the battlefield with them. When they fled, they left them behind. And David and his men took them. What do they do with them? And they took them. What is David going to do with all these idols?
Melt them down.
Melt them down and do what with them?
I have no idea.
I mean, it's possible. You can melt them down and turn them into back into their metals or whatever they were made from. And that's us, they're made from wood. Here's the very same story in Divrei Hayamim. This is Divrei Hayamim, Malach Perek Yudalad. Here's Chiram Malach Tzor building David's palace. And Vayishmu Plishtim Kinim Shach David LaMelech Al Kol Yisrael. The Plishtim heard that the David was anointed king of Israel. Vayalu Kol Plishtim Levakesh David Vayishma David Vayetzei Lifnehem. Plishtim Bao Vayifshtu BeEmek Rephaim. Plishtim came and they raided Emek Rephaim. Vayishal David BeElokim LeMor HaAleh Plishtim UNetanam BeYadi. Should I go? Will you give them to me? Vayomer Lo Hashem Aleh UNetatim BeYadecha. God says, go. I will deliver them. David God has breached my enemies like the breach of waters. Exact same story. Here's the last pasuk. There, the Philistines left their gods. Vayomer David vayisrifu ba'esh. To which David instructed the people to take them and burn them by fire. So this pasuk here, compared to the pasuk here, Ve'azvusham atzabem v'yisaim David v'anashav, David didn't take them to use them, obviously, chas v'shalom, and he didn't take them to save them, melt them down, use them, etc. He took them to destroy them. Ve'yisaim David v'anashav v'yisufu ba'esh, which is in line with the Torah's requirement that all references to idols and all remnants of idolatry need to be eradicated from the land of Israel. Matzevotayhem tishboru, to break their altars and their high places, and tisufum be'esh, and to burn their idolatrous trees, right? Whatever is idolatrous has to be destroyed. That is exactly what David does. He takes these idols and he destroys them. We're going to see one more battle with the Plishtim, if not today, then next week. And these are sort of the last two battles of the Plishtim. This is kind of David's attempt to, or the Plishtim's last attempt to kind of stop David that failed. And David, in fact, in the end, is victorious over them. I'll show you briefly what they are. I want to come back to this, Vayisaim David Vanashav. I want to come back to these idols. But to understand the magnitude of what we're talking about, I just want to read quickly through the rest of the parak. Yasifu od plishtim la'alot v'inachu be'emek Rephaim. The Philistines tried it again. After the first battle was unsuccessful, they came back for round two. That's why I showed you on this map that there's two incursions of the Philistines into the area of Emek Rephaim, and David fights them off twice. In the second time, Vayishal David b'Hashem, Vayomer, David again sought God's instructions, and this time God, however, said, Lo ta'ale, don't go up against them. This time David is told to stop, wait. Hasevel achareihem, go and circle around them, behind them. Uvatale mimul b'chaim, and come upon them against these, some kind of vegetation or tree called the b'chaim. It's translated here as a mulberry tree. I don't know what a mulberry tree is. I know a song about a mulberry bush, but that's a separate issue. Vahi kishama'acha et kol se'ada, when you will hear the sound of the marching b'roshei b'chaim at the top of these mulberry trees, az techaratz, then you shall burst forward. Ki az yatzah Hashem lefanecha lakot b'machaneh plishtim. That means that's the sign that God has gone before you to smite the host of the Philistines. Yes, David can. David does so. Kasher tzivah Hashem. Vayach et plishtim migeva d'varach gazer. He smote the plishtim from Geva through to Gazer. To give you a picture of what we're talking about, David comes up behind the plishtim and he pushes the plishtim north in a retreat that drives the plishtim through Geva or Givon, up and through down to Emek Ayalon, down into Gezer, back into Eretz Plishtim. And I will add one more perek, one more pasuk to the picture, which is the third battle that David has against the plishtim, which is the very first pasuk of perek chet. David again fought against the plishtim and he subdued them. David and he took the city of Metag Ha'ama, which I'll show you next week is the city of Gat, from the plishtim. And in the third battle, David takes them all the way down to here, to the city of Gat. And that is, for all intents and purposes, that is, between these three battles, Emek Rephaim 1, Emek Rephaim 2, where they retreat down to Gezer, and the Battle of Gat, thus ends the Philistine threat over Israel forever. I'll say that again. In Sefer Shmuel Aleph, the Plishtim have been the and Yoshua and in Shoftim and Shmuel Aleph for the last 400 years. The Plishtim have been the primary existential threat to the Jews, the Israelite settlement in Israel. After these three battles, the Plishtim are no more. David will fight many wars, not against the Plishtim. They're done. So these battles are significant, they're powerful, they're large, they are decisive, they involve all of the plishtim in one last major effort to fight against David. David's victories are significant. This is not a small battle, this is a major campaign. But I want to come back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayazvu shem et atzabeim, vayisaem David va'anashav. David took their images, and he took them away, and he, vayisufu be'esh, and he burnt them. Why is it significant that this campaign against the Plishtim, which is part one of really three battles, but it's really one long story? It's David's effort to eradicate the Philistine threat, battle number one, part two, and part three. It's really one campaign. Why is it significant that at the very beginning, the very first victory of this campaign, we are told that David took all their idols and he destroyed them?
Could the idols have had a way of making them feel stronger?
certainly possible that the idols themselves for the Philistines might have been, had they recollected them, might have given them some sort of sense of strength that's possible. But it's interesting that there is a kind of a coming full circle. There's there's an irony in the description of the, let's call it the last battle with the Philistines, which ends in Sefer Shmuel with not only the Philistine fleeing from the battlefield, but leaving their idols behind to be destroyed by the Israelites, because it kind of closes a circle on the story of the Plishtim. And what do I mean by that? The very first time we encounter the Plishtim as a threat to Israel in Sefer Shmuel, before David, and it's before Shaul. Right, we'll go all the way back to the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel. It happens to be the same parak, but I think that's purely, it's almost the same parak. Go back to Parak Dalet. This is the very first time that the Jews encounter a battle with the Plishtim or at least a significant battle with the Plishtim in Sefer Shmuel. Vayidvar Shmuel l'chol Yisrael ve'etzei Yisrael likrat Plishtim. The Plishtim, the days of Shmuel, after the birth of Shmuel the Navi, the Plishtim went out against Israel. Vayachanu al Evan Ezer u'Plishtim chanu ba'afek. Battle of Evan Ezer, north near Shiloh, Evan Ezer, Afek on the coast. Vayachu Plishtim likrat Yisrael, batitoshim mechama, vayinagef Yisrael lifnei Plishtim. And Israel was smitten before the Plishtim. So in that famous battle, the tide was reversed, and it was Israel that fled before the Plishtim. And in a desperate act to kind of win the war, the people come back to the camp. Why have we been smitten this day before the Plishtim? What are we going to do? Let's take the Aron into the battlefield. Maybe the Aron in the battle will give us a little bit of a, you know, the Aron with the Luchos and the Kruvim, it'll give us an inspiration, and we'll be able to win the war. So they went and they took the Aron Brit Hashem Tzvaot Yosheba Kruvim, they took the Ark of the Covenant of God, of hosts, dweller among who dwells between the Kruvim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas. When the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, the people of Israel were shouting and yelling and celebrating. The Plishtim heard. They said, "What is this great sound amongst the Hebrews?" They understood that the Israelites had brought the ark into the battle. The Plishtim were afraid. They may have been their enemies, and they may have been pagan, but what pagan and idolatrous cultures all share in common is that, generally speaking, they have reverence for every deity. In other words, it's only a question of which deity is more powerful than the other, but all deities have power in their worldview. There's only Paro at the chutzpah to say to Moshe, "Mi Hashem Asher Shema B'Kolo," right? I don't recognize your power. I don't recognize your God. Most pagans recognize that all gods have power. It's just a question of who's more powerful than the other. And so the Plishtim saw that the Israelites had brought the Aron into the battlefield. They were afraid. They said that the God of Israel has come into the camp. Who is going to deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? Right, the plural because of the reference to the two Kruvim. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians. Be strong, equip yourself, quit, be like men, ten ta'avdula ivrim, lest you lose this battle against the Hebrews. And so they fought with even stronger strength, and they were victorious. 30,000 Israelites died on that day. And the Aaron was taken captive to the Plishtim. And at the very beginning of Perek Hey, Uflishtim lakhu et Aaron Elohim, v'yaviyu me'Eben Ezer Ashdoda. They took the Aaron, they took it down to Eben Ezer, they took it down to Ashdod, they took it down to Beit Dagon, they brought it into the house of the idols of Dagon, they set it next to their deity of Dagon, as if to say our God was victorious over their God. And then the rest of the story we talked about at length when we learned this back the first time, and how the Aaron, so to speak, fought back. But it's, I just thought it was so interesting that, if coming back to our parak, Shmuel Bet Parakei, that here's the circle of the story of the Plishtim. It starts with the battle of Eben Ezer. When we, in an attempt to be victorious over the Israelite, over the Plishtim, we brought the Aaron into the battlefield. Terrible mistake. Because we don't go into battle with the physical Aaron and the Kruvim and the Luchos that stays in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We go into battle, they come into battle with horses and chariots. We come into battle b'shem Hashem Elokeinu, in the name of God. We don't come into the battlefield with the physical objects that can be perceived as idolatrous. We keep those in the Kodesh HaKadoshim hidden so that they're not understood in idolatrous ways. But here, for the first time, we took the Aaron into the battlefield, and the tragedy was self-evident. The Aaron was captured, the Mishkan was destroyed. And as the circle of history comes to a close, a generation and a half later, David is leading the campaign against the Plishtim. David is leading the campaign with B'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir, with that sense of God's presence with him, not with the Aaron, but just with God. He asks the Urim B'Tumim, should I go to battle? God says, go, I will be with you, I will fight with you. Paratz Hashem et Oivai, he's victorious, but he attributes it to God. God has breached my enemy. And it's the Philistines who had come into battle with all of their deities and idols. And David takes them, and instead of parading them through the temple, through the Mishkan, through the tabernacle, instead of parading them through the people, he takes them, and he does exactly what he's supposed to do with them, which is to burn them and destroy them. And so you sort of have this, I think, this contrast set out between the opening campaign with the Plishtim and the beginning of the closing campaign with the Plishtim. So I think that reference to the Yatzabayim is more significant than just a passing reference. I think here in this context, it has a it plays a very powerful role in kind of bringing the picture full circle. All right, I'm going to stop here for a minute and ask and pause for questions. I've done a lot of talking.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I think it makes a big difference. Look who we're leading in the beginning against Plishtim was Hophni and Pinchas.
For sure.
And they misuse their power in the Mishkan, and they misuse the Aaron by taking it to war. So unfortunately, we were probably sentenced to defeat because of them.
100%.
And now we have somebody like David, who's an Eved Hashem, and everything's changed.
Correct. And we've only started that comparison. That comparison is going to stay with us for a little bit, because Sefer Shmuel opens with the not only the capture of the Aaron, but the fall, the destruction of the Mishkan. David's life and campaign begins here with the conquest of the Plishtim, with the defeat of the Plishtim, followed by the move of the Aaron out of its exile that it had gone into from that story, back to Yerushalayim, and the request of David to build the Beit HaMikdash, which are Perek Vav and Zayin. So your full circle, what begins here with just the comparison of the two battles, will unfold into the focus on the Aron, on its exile from the days of its return from Eretz Plishtim into the land of Beit Shemesh and Kiryat Yarim, and now its return to Yerushalayim, which is the next Perek, and the fall of the Mishkan in Perek Hey, Dalet and Hey of Shmuel, to the vision or dream of rebuilding it in the form of the Mikdash, which is David's request in Perek Zayin. So what starts as a small comparison actually grows in terms of the trajectory of the whole Sefer. Any other questions? All right. So here's what I'm going to suggest. There's a lot to be said about the second battle, what's referred to as the Battle of B'chaim. I don't really want to start that because if we start it, we won't finish it. So I'm going to stop here, just a few minutes early. We will, Bezrat Hashem, pick up from the next week with the remaining part of the story, which is the second battle of the Plishtim in Emek Rephaim, the Battle of B'chaim, and its significance. We'll talk about that, Bezrat Hashem, next week. Okay?
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.